is where I'm going to be tonight. Genesis 23. I'm going to tell you this joke. I thought it was funny. Y'all might not laugh, and Lauren will pick on me after the service. But there was this old man, and I think this is the story of me and Lauren. I'm not sure. There's this old man, and he swore that his wife was deaf. Any husband ever felt like that in here tonight, all right? He swore that his wife was deaf, and so he was asking one of his friends, which was a doctor, he said, I swear, he really believed this woman was deaf, D. And the doctor said, I tell you what, you go up to her. He said, you stand 20 feet from her, and you say something to her. And then gradually you move in, and then you'll know, you know, when she hears you, how deaf she is. So he goes home that night, and he said, oh, I'm going to prove it right here. So he walks in the kitchen. He says, honey, what are we having for supper? He's about 30 feet from her. She don't say nothing. So he moves in about 10 feet. He's about 20 feet out. He says, honey, what are we having for supper? Nothing. She didn't say a word. So he moves up about 5 feet from him and said, honey, what are we having for supper? She said, I told you 10 times already. We're having spaghetti. That's my life right there. I think I got her. I got her pinned down. And always my fault. It's always me. Nah, I'm just kidding. But anyway, Genesis chapter number 23, just trying to break the ice, just trying to get y'all smiling a little bit. Genesis chapter number 23 is where we're going to be at tonight. And we all know what Genesis chapter number 22 is about. And very, very well-known passage of scripture of Abraham and Isaac. But tonight, we're going to be in chapter number 23. And we're going to start reading verse number 1. It says, and Sarah was 120 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kirjath-Arba, whatever that is, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abraham stood up from before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of the burying place with you that I may bury my dead out of my sight. I'm going to stop reading right there. The whole thought that tonight right here in this piece of scripture, it says, I think 7 or 8, 9, 10, I can't remember how many times Sarah here is referred to as dead. Abraham says, my dead. The people that were with him say, thy dead. They never say Sarah. They say, you're dead. We got to bury your dead. Dead, dead, dead. It's all dead. And several times in this scripture it says, thy dead, my dead. And what I'm going to preach on tonight is, I took it out of verse number 4. I'm going to preach on bury thy dead. Bury thy dead. And tonight, every single Christian in here can bury their dead after following these guidelines. Every single one of us. And I'm talking, I'm going to explain myself. I know y'all are thinking this ain't a funeral. We don't need to be hearing about this. But every single one of us can bury our dead. You see, Abraham and Sarah, just like me and Lauren, when we got married, became one person. They became one person. So we could say that when Sarah died, that Abraham, part of Abraham died. They were one. Okay, so he lost part of him. He lost his other half. He lost her. He lost and she died. And every single one of us, we have two men. When you're born with two men. You're born with a saved man and a lost man. And every single one of us, hopefully, you've already done it. But when you get saved, part of you dies. And that's your dead. And in other words, that's your past. In other words, that's your life before salvation. And tonight, what God's told me to come tell you is, you don't have to carry around your dead. You don't have to carry around your past. You don't have to carry around the old man. The Bible says a man in Christ is a new creature. Every single one of us, you've been saved in here tonight. You are a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We got something we can shout about, amen. How many are glad you're not who you used to be? Amen. We've all heard the saying, I ain't who I ought to be, but thank God I ain't who I used to be. Amen. I'm glad I'm not who I used to be. I was saved at an early age, but I'm still glad I ain't spilling my food anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like babies do. That's their sin. I didn't have bad sin back in the day. But I had a pass. Every single one of us has got a pass. Every single one of us got something before we were saved that we regret. Every single one of us. And I'm here to tell you, the Lord told me to come tell y'all tonight that you ain't got to carry it around. We can bury our dead. And number one, to bury our dead, we have to go to a specific place. We have to go to a specific place. In verse number 4, it says, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And verse number 8 says, and he communed with them, saying, if it be your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and entreat me for me to Ephron, the son of Zahor. There's a specific place where we are to bury our dead. Right here, number one, it was a hidden place. You shouldn't bury your dead where you can go get it. It's a hidden place. You shouldn't bury your dead and wake up every single morning and look at it. When you bury your dead, get rid of it. That's Satan's life. That ain't your life. When you are saved, you have became a new life. You became a new creature. Old things are passed away. Leave it. Put it out of sight. Hide that dead man. And that's what Abraham is looking to do right here. He says, give me a place that I can bury my dead out of my sight. It was a hidden place. Number two, I noticed that it was a remembered place. He said, how are you going to hide it and still remember it? That don't make sense. Remember where God brought you from. You better go bury your dead, but you better not forget where God brought you out of. You better not forget the muck and the mire that God brought you out of. You better not forget the bar that God brought you out of. You better not forget the sin that God has brought you out of. He has brought you out of that sin for a reason, not for you to go back into it. Lots of times we get so familiar with God, and we come up here and we go to church every single Sunday, and it gets just so familiar, and it's not as important to us anymore. But if we'd look back and see where God has brought us from, we'd have a whole new appreciation of our new life. Number one, you better go hide your dead. Number two, you better remember your dead. Remember where God brought you from. Lots of times, like I said before, lots of times Christians, and I'm guilty of it myself, God saved us and He's pulled us out of this, and we take for granted that sin had us all ate up. Amen. That sin had us wrapped around its finger. And then this is the craziest thing to me, but lots of times we think we can handle it if we go back now because we're saved. And guess what? It's still the same sin, and you're still the same human. And you're still going to sin. So remember where God brought you from. I heard a preacher tell this story one time. It was about this young man. He kept falling out of bed at night. His dad came in there. His dad said, son, stay in the bed. You know, you're hurting yourself. Quit falling out of the bed. You know, he said, stay in this bed. Don't fall out again. Well, sure enough, he fell out again. And he said, son, why do you keep falling off the bed? And he looked at his daddy. He said, I guess I'm just sleeping too close to where I got in. A lot of Christians today, they're so close to where they got in. You need to separate yourself. Separate yourself from the world. You shouldn't be hanging out with the same people that you was hanging out with before. You shouldn't be going to the same places that you were before. That's too close to where you got in. Separate yourself from that dead man. Get that dead man across the field. It says on the back side of this field is where he buried his dead. And that's what we ought to do. Get it as far away from him as you can. Because if you're not careful, you'll fall right back into it. We're human. Let me ask you this question. Are you letting your past hang around in your sight? Can you see your past? When you got up this morning, did you see your past? Friday night, did you see your past? Saturday night, did you see your past? Do you see that dead man on a weekly basis? Amen. Number one, there's a specific place that we should hide our dead. It's a hidden place and it's a remembered place. Number two, there is a specific price for our dead. Verse number 13, it says, and he spake unto Ephron in the audience of the people of the land, saying, but if thou wilt give it, I pray thee, hear me, I will give thee money for the field. Take it of me, and I will bury my dead there. And Ephron answered Abraham, saying unto him, My Lord, hearken unto me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that betwixt me and thee? Bury therefore thy dead. And Abraham hearkened unto Ephron, and Abraham weighed to Ephron the silver, which he had named in the audience of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, current money, with the merchant. There's a specific price. I noticed tonight, we can't pay that price. We can go hide our dead, and we can remember our dead, but we can't pay the price for our dead. We can't pay the price for our past. It's already been paid. If it was up to me, it would have never got paid. But Jesus laid Himself down, laid Himself on a cross, and died for me and you so that we wouldn't have to carry around the past. We won't have to carry around the things that haunt us, the things that we wake up and we see somebody in town and they say, hey, I remember you. Me and you used to hang out back in the day. And it hurts because that's your past. And God doesn't want you to carry around that past. So He paid the price for you not to have to. There's a specific price. I noticed that the price was not negotiated. Right here, this is kind of funny because this ain't me, okay? But in verse number 11, the Bible says, Nay, my Lord, hear me, the field give I thee, and that cave that is therein, I give it thee, in the presence of the sons of my people, give it thee, bury thy dead. So this is my motto, okay? This is my motto. If it's free, it's for me, all right? That's my motto. I live by that rule right there, okay? If it's free, it's always for me, right? So Abraham here, this man comes to Abraham. He says, Abraham, you can have this tomb. You can have this field. It's yours. Bury your dead here. What does Abraham say? No, I can't take it. What's it worth? The man said, 400 shekels, which is a lot of money, okay? 400 shekels of silver. So Abraham got his wallet out and gave the man 400 shekels of silver. This is totally not me. Okay, so first of all, if he offers it for free, I'm taking it. And second of all, I'm at least going to try to cut him down on the price a little bit, right? I'm not going to just pay the 400 shekels. I might pay 375 shekels, but I ain't going to pay 400, right? So right here, Abraham did not negotiate the price at all. He paid the price that it took. And there was only one price that could take away our dead. There was only one price that could take away our past. And Jesus Christ paid it. He paid it in full. And I'll talk about that in just a second. But he paid this price. It was not negotiated. I got to thinking about when Christ was in the garden. He said, Lord, let this cup pass from me. And y'all have all heard my dad say it 100 times, how it was impossible for that cup to pass. He had to take that cup. And guess what? He took that cup because it was the only price that was profitable enough for us to bury our dead. Number one, the price was not negotiated. Number two, the price was paid in full. This is probably my favorite part. Hold on a second. I got to do this real quick. All right. The price was paid in full. In verse number 16, we just read it. Abraham pulled out the silver, weighed the silver right in front of the man. This is 400 shekels right here. This is all for you. And if you'll do a word study on 400 shekels of silver, if you go back and do a word study, this is weird. This is not me. I'm not this smart, really. I steal a lot of this from my dad. But this I actually did get, okay? This, if you go back and do a word study on this in the Hebrew, I think, in the Hebrew, this word is tav, which means the mark of Christ, which is the cross. So, 400 shekels of silver in typology, if you do a word study on it, is the cross of Christ. And anytime you ever see silver in the Bible, it's a typology of the blood. So right here, it just fell right into place right here as I was studying. The Lord gave me this. There was one price. It was a cross, and it was a whole bunch of blood spilt for me and you. And I said that totally wrong. He did not spill His blood. He shed His blood. I'm sorry. Nobody took it from Him. It wasn't an accident. He did it on purpose. He shed His blood for me and you. And it was because He wanted you to stop carrying around our past. And He wanted me to stop carrying around my past. Lots of times in my past, I have sinned after I got saved. I got saved at an early age. And so I sinned a lot after I got saved. And I have a past. And it breaks my heart when I see somebody that I've lost my testimony in front of, maybe. Or I haven't lived the best Christian life in front of. And it breaks my heart because that's my past. But God doesn't want you to live in that. And I don't know who you are here tonight, but God told me to come and tell you that He's already paid the price. He's already paid for it. Let me ask you this question. When was the last time you thanked God for the cross? When was the last time you actually thanked God for the cross? That cross was very important. That blood that He shed was very important. Me and you would have went to hell without that blood. And because He shed that blood, we have new life. Number three, not only is there a specific place and there is a specific price, but there's a specific purpose for burying your dead. Verse number 19. It says, "And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre," whatever, I'm not good with these names. "And the same is Hebron in the land of Canaan. And the field and the cave that is therein were made sure unto Abraham for a possession of a burying place by the sons of Heth." Now if we go over, we all know the story of Lazarus. And Lazarus died, and Jesus was 4 days late getting to the tomb. How many are glad even when he's 4 days late, he's dead on time, right? And he's seldom early, but he's never late. I love that saying. He's not always early, but he's always on time. And he got to that tomb, Brother Derek, and he said, "Where have you laid him?" And Lazarus' sister said, "Lord, you don't want to go over there. He stinks. He stinks." After 4 days, he was stinking. Let me tell you something. If you don't bury your dead, it'll stink. It'll stink. It will stink up your Christian life. I was thinking about this story today as I was studying this. When I first moved to South Carolina into Greenwood to go to college, me and my dad, we've always fished and hunted together, and we've always done everything together. And I went fishing with one of my friends up there in South Carolina. We went fishing, and we caught a bunch of fish always. You know, if y'all weren't there, I can say that, okay? We caught tons of fish. And we loaded the boat up, right? And we got home, and he said, "Man, do you want these fish?" And I was single and in college, and I said, "I could use the food, amen," because I was broke. So I took those fish home with me, Brother Derek. I put them in the back of my truck in a cooler with ice. See, the problem with this is, if you ask my wife, she's smiling right now because she knows where this is going, I have a terrible memory, okay? Guess what I forgot in the back of my truck for a week? Them fish. And let me tell y'all something. If you ain't never smelled a rotten fish, you're missing out. Not really, okay? It's terrible. It is the worst smell you could possibly smell. I'm telling you. It's like straight gag. You know, you just throw the whole cooler away, right? And it stunk. And I can remember, I felt like every time, Brother Derek, I got in that truck, I smelt them fish. And I went to the Dollar General, and I bought every little tree they had in there, and I put in my truck, and still, 10, 15 days later, I could still smell that nasty fish. Why? Because it lingers. That smell lingers. Let me tell you something. If you don't bury your dead, if you don't get rid of that dead man, if you don't get rid of your past, it's going to stink up your future. You see, if you don't get rid of, see, I smelled that thing long after I got rid of them fish. What I'm trying to tell you is if you don't get rid of that as soon as you possibly can, you're going to smell it a lot longer than you should have. And that past, that dead man, get rid of it. Don't let it hang around because it'll start to stink. Number one, it'll stink. Or it's a nasty smell. Number two, it's a new start. And guess what? When you get rid of that dead man, you get to start all over again. And that's the greatest thing. Jesus Christ, he made it. I just love the way He designed it. I don't have to worry about my past anymore. It's been forgiven. It's been forgotten. And from this point on, I could live my life to the best of my ability to serve Christ. What are you doing for Christ? What are you doing to serve God? Now that you've been saved, now that you've buried that dead man, have you started doing something more for Him? Or are you still hanging around too close to where you got in? There's a new life. You're supposed to be a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. I remember, I'm going to tell this story real quick and I'm going to be done. I know y'all love hearing me preach because I don't preach long. And I got this preacher. Well, he wasn't a friend of mine. I didn't know him that well. And I was up in South Carolina at the time. And it was when I first went up there. And this preacher, everybody, Brother Sheldon, everybody talked about how he was a great preacher. He was a great preacher. And he had moved off and started, he had a little small church. He moved back to his hometown. And he started this little small church. And as he started this church, I can remember when I moved there, it was like everybody, I heard his name every now and then, but I never met the guy. And all of a sudden, this guy went from being a great man to he's messed up. Brother Robbie Burton's my pastor up there. He didn't tell me why. He just said, I want you and Brother Chad to go up there and get all of his stuff and bring it back home. So that's what we did. We got a U-Haul, and me and Brother Chad, we rode up there, and we got his stuff, and we brought it back. And he came back and lived in Greenwood for a little while. And no, I never knew what happened. I never knew what happened. And I just knew that Brother Robbie said, go get his stuff, and that's what we did. And he was there for about a month or two, and all of a sudden, we got this terrible news. And it was all over the news. It was all over Facebook. Greenwood man dies. And that was his name. His name was right there on the front of the newspaper. I mean, it was everywhere. It was the craziest thing. And this is why it was so crazy. There wasn't a cause of death, Brother Sheldon. It wasn't a cause of death. They looked for weeks. No cause of death. They found his truck parked on the side of the road. And so they found it. When they found his truck, his keys, his phone, his wallet was laying all on the console. He got out of the truck. He walked off in the woods, and he died. Nobody knows why. Had a wife and kids. They'll never know why their dad died. But I'm not saying any names because this is not none of our business. But I found out later on. Brother Robbie told me he went back. He was, if you saw the man, he had a great testimony. He had a bunch of tattoos, and he was just a great preacher. I heard him preach once or twice, and Brother Robbie told me, he said, it's between me and you. But he said that man went back to his hometown, and he got in with his old crowd and got on drugs, started doing alcohol, started getting associated with gangs. And so Brother Robbie loved this man. Brother Robbie told us to go get his stuff. And this I believe this with all my heart. That man was carrying around a dead man. He was carrying around a dead man. And he was sleeping too close to where he got in. And it started stinking. And you know what? I believe with all my heart. I know exactly why he died. I believe with all my heart God said it's time. God said it's time, D. He said I'm tired of it. I gave you all the warnings I can give you. And here today, I'm telling you, I'm warning you. I'm encouraging you. Get rid of your dead man before it stinks. Get rid of your dead man before it drags you down. Get rid of your past. Hide your past. Get rid of it. Because if you're not careful, it's a danger. It's very dangerous. And it'll stink. Let me ask you this question. Are you enjoying your new life? Are you enjoying your new life? Are you still dwelling in the past? Are you a new creature? Or are you an old creature? Today, I'm giving you this opportunity. Brother Brian, come to the piano for me. I'm giving you all this opportunity right now. Maybe there's somebody in here that's carrying around a dead man. Maybe there's somebody in here who's been flirting with where they got in. And you're carrying around a dead man. You're carrying around your past. And God's standing down here and he's saying, just bring it to me. My yoke is easy. Just come on, lay your burdens on me. And he wants to so bad. And you're carrying around that dead man. And it's weighing you down. It's about to kill you. You can lay it down tonight. Who will come? Who will come lay down their dead man? Get rid of their past. Get away from it before it stinks. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe there's somebody in here, as I was preaching, you were saying to yourself, I still got that dead man. I still am that dead man. You're lost as you can be, and you know it. I ain't going to sugarcoat it for you tonight. If you die right now and you don't have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will. You will. There's no question about it. You will spend an eternity in a place called hell. See, today, you can start this journey of burying your dead. Right now, you can get rid of that dead man. It doesn't have to hold you down. There's a new life waiting on you. All you got to do is just take His hand. I ask you this question tonight, and I want you to be serious with yourself and ask yourself this question. This ain't for me. This ain't for your neighbor sitting beside you. This is for you. This is important to you. I want you to ask yourself this question. If I was to die right now, if I was to die right now, which it can happen, trust me, where would I spend my eternity? Maybe you say, I don't know. Maybe you say heaven. That's praise the Lord, bless His holy name. Maybe you say, I know I'm going to hell. You don't have to. You don't have to. My job tonight is to come here and tell you, you don't have to go to hell. I grew up, my dad was in youth ministry my whole life. I grew up around kids that were scared to death to get saved because what their friends might think. And I think adults are a lot of the same way. I don't care who you are, how old you are tonight. I don't care who's sitting next to you. I don't care if everybody in this church thinks you're saved. If you know within your heart that you're not, you better get it right. I'm going to ask this question. If you were to die right now, where would you spend eternity? If you say, no, I don't, brother, or I'm just not really sure, I want you to look up at me. Just real quick, I promise. I'm just going to be real quick. Not going to last very long here. You don't have to go to hell. Just look up at me real quick. Say, I don't know where I'd spend my eternity. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this day. Lord, I thank You for church tonight, God. I thank You for the singing. Lord, I thank You for Your word, Lord, that was opened up to us tonight. God, I thank You for the message, Lord. I pray, Lord, that even in my life, Lord, I pray, Lord, as the devil tries to bring up my dead man, Lord, as the devil tries to bring up my past, God, I pray that You give me the strength, Lord, to hide it. Lord, give me the strength to forget about it, Lord. Just get it out of my mind, Lord. Lord, I pray that You'd help me, Lord, to live with everything I got for You, Lord. Lord, I pray that You'd touch this church tonight. Lord, I thank You for the people that are here, Lord. I thank You for their faithfulness, Lord. Lord, I pray for them, Lord, as their dead man. Lord, as the devil tries their best to show them how terrible their past is, Lord, I pray, Lord, that You'd encourage them and show them how bright their future is, Lord. Lord, I just thank You for this church and what it means to my family. Lord, I pray that You'd touch every single one of us, Lord, as the devil tries his best to defeat us. Lord, I pray, Lord, You'd encourage us, strengthen us. Lord, give us the courage to fight the devil this week, Lord. And we'll thank You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I told my dad I was going to preach on giving tonight. But I was just kidding. If y'all want to, me and Lauren are having a baby shower over in the...